from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. It's a new era up in Seattle. Good music for this segment, I suppose, with Kurt Cobain there and Nirvana. But the Seattle Seahawks this year, first year in 14 without Pete Carroll at the helm on the sidelines. It's going to feel a little bit weird, and
strange.
You know, this preseason is usually a time to answer questions about players that we have questions about, and I'm not sure that the Seahawks roster comes with too many of those this season. But at the same time, I feel like we've just been quiet about the franchise and in general and in what to expect. The last couple of years have been very, I don't know if you want to say pedestrian, vanilla, 9-8. It's just, there's not been a lot to be excited about, but they've been fine. And I'm wondering, as we get into it now, some of your expectations, both you and Will, for this new era under Mike McDonald.
Seattle is one of my sleeper teams. The only thing that stops me is that division is really hard. But we were talking about teams that didn't make the playoffs last year that could be playoff teams, or you know, teams that were borderline and could make the jump. And Seattle was the 9-8 team, and they missed the playoffs by one game. So I don't know how much of a stretch that is. But when you look at a team the last 2 years that's been 9-8. I don't know why, and Seattle got better, by the way, in the offseason. I'm not certain why there's this weird sense that Seattle is just like this awesome random. I've seen a lot of people that like Arizona.
And I have too, oddly.
And they're jocking the Cardinals, and I think it just comes down to the fact that, you know, quarterback play in the
flashier
league.
Players.
And there's just not a lot of love on Geno Smith. And then there's a lot of hype about Marvin Harrison Jr. And maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. is the second coming. But as I just stated, I think receivers are, we way overvalue the impact of receivers. Cause even if Marvin Harrison is this great receiver, dude, Seattle's got really good receivers.
They've got a couple really good ones, yeah.
I think they've got three, and there's a lot of talk about this Jake Bobo.
Yep, people
coming
like
out
him.
Of camp that people like him. And this is Lockett's last year, by the way, because he's set to make a ton of money. He'll get moved on. But
yeah.
You have a true number one in DK Metcalf. I think Lockett has been one of the more underappreciated receivers in the league for years.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I'm hearing, and towards the end of the last year, the back half of last year, Smith and Jigba started to kind of come on, and there's been a lot of really good buzz with him out of camp. So to me, you have three really good receivers. And look, I'm not trying to say that Geno Smith is the end all to be all, but again, go look. Geno Smith has been a solid quarterback the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Not a world beater. The health along the offensive line, you got to keep your tackles happy. But if you do that, I just think there's a lot to like. I think you have two really good backs. When healthy, I think you have a good old line, and I think you have an elite receiving core, and I think you have an above average quarterback. So if we're going to say that, like, you know, a quarterback like Kirk Cousins can do something and take a team deep, and I know there's some question marks about that. I don't think there's much difference between Geno Smith and, let's say, 9 through, I don't know, 15 in the league. I think he's in that range, and his numbers back it up. And on the defensive side of things, I think there's a ton to like about this defense. Secondary is elite. I think your defensive front is very good. Linebackers, again, every team has question marks. It's just the way it is. And there's some health issues around the linebacker, the linebacking core, but I think it's a very, very good front. And everything you're hearing about Murphy, the kid out of Texas, is that he could be an absolute game wrecker.
Yeah.
Supposedly he's unblockable in practice. We've seen him in the preseason. It's the same thing. So, look, I look at Seattle and a team last year that went on the road and had some big wins. I mean, the Lions were a team last year that should have been in the Super Bowl, right? They went into Detroit and beat them. I mean, this has been a team that has some big wins, and some of their losses have been close. Think what the Cincinnati nicked them last year in a close one.
Yep.
I mean, that's easily a team last year that could have been an 11-win team. And you take a guy like Mike Macdonald coming over, who is kind of the Sean McVay of defenses. They said the last 2 years, there's been a 7 or 8 defenses that have specifically switched over to his defense.
Jeez, I didn't
realize
that.
He is the guy now that is kind of leading the charge and the defenses that he's running. So,
what is it that he's doing or does specifically that people really like?
Well, I would assume that he gives them a bump, and he's doing it because they don't have to blitz a bunch. Like he's just being able to scheme pressures and the different ways that he attacks and what he does with his secondary.
Without giving up numbers.
And again, he has a really, really good secondary to back this up, which should give him some flexibility up front. The one thing that Seattle hasn't done the last couple of years is just stop the run.
Yeah.
And I would assume with his defensive acumen, they should be better at stopping the run. So I just, like I said, overall, I just really like this Seattle team. It's just if they had a quarterback not named Geno Smith, I think we would talk about them an awful lot. And some of that, I think, goes back again to the draft bias that we just view Geno Smith as a career backup.
Just a guy.
And I'm not trying to make him out to be, you know, Tom Brady or make him out to be Aaron Rodgers, but look at his numbers. Geno Smith last year, especially when it came to the deep ball, was one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL.
Teams have won more with less.
So I don't know why we're just instantly looking at Seattle like everyone's jocking the Rams and saying that the Rams are going to be great. Everyone's loving the Cardinals. And, you know, maybe they are just the odd man out in this division because it's such a tough division. I just don't see how Seattle, who's been 9-8 last year and now with a new coach, which we're assuming bumps up the defense and the offense has continued to get better. This roster has gotten better. I don't see why or how they take a step back. This to me is a 10-11 win team.
The key is going to be in, can Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas stay healthy? Last year, they were not healthy, especially Lucas. Lucas missed, I think, close to 75% of the games. Yeah. And that was a big deal because they don't have a backup tackle. Like Stone Forsythe is fine, but he's a backup tackle and you're asking him to go play right tackle. And he wasn't getting the job done, so there was extra pressure getting on Geno. They weren't able to run the football to the right side. They had to run it strictly to the left. And when you can only run the football one way, teams can scheme up ways to stop that. Now, I'm really interested to see, and Suk touched on this earlier, but Geno Smith is one of the best throwers of the deep ball. Well, what does Ryan Grubb like to do? He likes to scheme up deep routes, and you have probably the fastest and the biggest, strongest wide receiver in the entire National Football League in DK Metcalf, and his hands get better year after year after year. Yeah, I'm pretty high on this Seahawks team. The big thing is going to be, can you keep those two tackles healthy with your right and your left, because you're not very deep on that offensive line. It's better than it was, but you're not very deep. And then defensively, how big of an impact can Murphy have? You know, when you have that interior rush that can get not just to the passer, but can also stop the run from that three-tech position, a defensive tackle, or, you know, depending on what kind of D-line scheme you want going in, he might even bump down into that nose guard position. If he's able to be unblockable, it frees everything up, so you don't have to add an extra pass rusher and a blitz. You don't have to try and find different exotic fire zones. So now you're not having to add Witherspoon into the blitz packages. You don't have to add Kobe Bryant, who has moved over to safety. You don't have to add Julian Love, who's moved to safety, into these exotic blitz packages that Seattle was having to use in the past to try and stop the run. You can now play your box guys as box guys, and you don't have to take someone out of coverage to bring a blitz. If you can do those things, a lot of defensive wiggle room opens up, and this Seahawks team could be really dangerous.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Geno Smith, by the way, and I wanted to back this up. So he's been the starter in Seattle for 2 years, and then the year before that when he was the part-time guy. So he only, you know, he played in 4 games.
Sure.
But I would just like to say that his quarterback rating in the 3 years that he's been in Seattle and has played is 103, 101, and 92.
You can win with that.
You can win with that. So...
Yeah. He said, not world beater, but good enough, serviceable. If your defense is good,
completed 68, 69, and 65% of his passes.
Real quick, thoughts on the running game? I feel like that's been lacking in the last couple of years, and it's been kind of a who's going to be the guy, and then the guy that they think is going to be the guy is always nicked up with injury. It's going to be Kenneth Walker but
you got a two-headed back here. And most people now are going two-headed in Zach, the kid out of UCLA,
Charbonnet.
When you look at some of the advanced metrics, he's an explosive play. Like, he's a home run hitter. And so I do think that this is going to be split, but I think both of those guys are NFL backs. Again, they're not necessarily elite, but look at like what the Chargers are rolling with.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily rolling with elite guys either. A lot of places aren't rolling with elite backs, with the exception of Christian McCaffrey, who is an elite back.
And by the way, the 49ers did it without him before. They did it with guys like Raheem Mostert.
Yes.
And so even elite teams don't need an elite guy to do
so
that.
I think to kind of pair what Will said, I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, can you keep your offensive line healthy? Because if you can, and you brought in Connor Williams now to finally solidify that center position, they haven't had that since Max Unger left, so they're pretty high on him.
Drafted a guard,
so you know, and I guess they're saying that Bradford and who's the other guy? Christian Haynes,
the Michigan kid.
So they're saying that they could have a nice little rotation. There's finally maybe some depth on the inside, so maybe that helps get the run game going a little bit. I'm a little more bullish on Seattle, and believe me, I'm not a Seahawk homer. I just think that McDonald is going to give them a boost, and this is a better team. And when you look through 23, I'm talking about the 2023 season, with the exception, they had the bad loss early on to the Rams, which looked really bad, and the Ravens kicked the you-know-what out of them.
Yeah.
And the Ravens kicked the crap out of a lot of people. Other than that, dude, they won a lot of games. They won 9 games. And like the Cincinnati loss, 17-13, right? Right in there. What was the other one? 17-16 to the Rams, which everyone's jockeying. The Niners have been their foil. They lost that game to the Cowboys, 41-35 in that shootout. San Francisco beat them by a score later on in the year. They lost by one score in Pittsburgh. I mean, they were in a lot of those games. It's just not a bad team. It's just a team that people are sleeping on. So just keep an eye on that. The only thing is the division may just be a nut grinder. Because if Arizona is good,
right,
and that's one that I don't know.
You're not going to expect the Rams or the Niners to be bad.
No. So that just may be one of those that's just
a tough year because it's a tough road.
It's a tough year because it's a tough road. But I think that look at what the NFC North is bringing to the table, you know, with the exception of maybe Minnesota. But, you know, Chicago is going to be good. The Lions are going to be good. You've got some divisions out there where there's three legitimate teams. You know, the Steelers may be a bit bumpy, but Cleveland, if they get good quarterback play, is going to be good. Baltimore's not going anywhere. I mean, there are some legitimate meat grinder divisions. And even though the Steelers' offense doesn't get going, you know the Steelers' defense is going to be fine. I mean, there just isn't easy outs in play there. And this may be one of those divisions where all four teams are battling it out. I still think San Francisco is the class of that, but it may be, you know, a bunch of 8-win teams, and there's going to be two games that break the way, and that's going to be the difference between either the Cardinals, the Rams, or the Seahawks making the postseason. And mm-hmm. and I like Seattle. I think Seattle's roster, with the exception of quarterback, I think it is a better roster than what the Rams and the Cardinals are bringing. The only difference is quarterback play. And I don't think the gap between Geno and those other two quarterbacks is quite as big. There's a gap, but it is not the Grand Canyon that people are making it out to be.
Well, we had an incident in Dallas that involved one team's franchise quarterback and an elevator that was not working. Their head coach could not be more thrilled about it. We'll give you all the details next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.